And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Aren't you grateful for our worship ministry team? We're happy to have Cindy as a new member of the team. And Ruthie came all the way from Florida to sing on the praise team today, which is really impressive. I mean, that is a long drive to church. I mean, wow, that is tremendous. We're so glad you're all here. Thank you for being a part of this ministry. Today, we're continuing to talk about answered prayer. We're in Jeremiah 30. We'll be in Jeremiah 33. We'll get there at the end of this message. We're still in Jeremiah 32. But let's bow our heads and talk to the Lord. God, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the hope of answered prayer. Remind us, Lord, that today we're going to, once again, like last week, try to put ourselves in a position to hear your answers that are already coming. Forgive us when you answer us and we don't hear you, and then we get mad because you didn't answer us when you did, but we weren't listening. Help us to understand what it is to be in a position to hear more than ever before. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The prolific author Philip Yancey, some of you have probably read some of his millions of words. He wrote this: once a friend of mine was swimming in a large lake at dusk. He was paddling at a leisurely pace about 100 yards offshore. A freak evening fog rolled in across the water. Suddenly, he couldn't see anything. No horizon, no landmarks, no objects or lights on the shore. Because the fog also diffused all the light, he couldn't even discern which direction he was swimming in. For 30 minutes, he says, my friend splashed around in panic. He'd start off in one direction, lose confidence, and turn 90 degrees to the right or left. It made no difference which way he turned. He would stop and float, trying to conserve energy and concentrate on breathing slower. Then he would strike out again, blindly, of course, for he had lost all orientation. He was utterly lost until finally he heard voices calling him from the shore, and he was able to guide himself by the sounds of those voices. That's kind of scary, right? You know, something like that feeling happens to us, that feeling of utter lostness falls on us when we don't have confidence in the prayers that we pray. So how do we develop the kind of faith that has staying power when everything fuzzes over, when the lights get turned off, when the fog rolls in? Now, don't despair. Instead, keep these words of the wise theologian in mind when he said this: where there is no longer any opportunity for doubt, there is no longer any opportunity for faith either. In other words, we're going to be in these positions. So instead of panicking, what do we do? Do things sometimes get foggy for you? They get foggy for me. It does for all of us at one time or another. Personally, I've stubbed my figurative toe on many impediments as I find myself in a fog of a lack of direction or a lack of wisdom or a lack of trust in God. I'm sure you have as well. However, when we have a growing confidence in our prayer life, the fog does begin to burn off, and we can see the shoreline a little more clearly each time. Today, we're talking about the second three of the steps toward putting ourselves in a position to hear God's answers. Last week, we looked at the first three found in Jeremiah 32. We'll be in the same chapter a little bit today as well. If you remember from last week, Jeremiah is in a very difficult situation. Babylon is besieging Jerusalem. Jeremiah is imprisoned by the wimpy, worthless King Zedekiah. Remember that? The king who's supposed to be on Jeremiah's side. However, God is giving Jeremiah prophecies that are going against that king because the king has been unfaithful to God. So instead of getting right with God, the king throws the messenger in prison. That's nice, right? And to add even more stress to the situation, the prophet has purchased land in a place, as he was instructed by God to do, that is soon going to be overrun by those Babylonians who are outside Jerusalem's walls. Are you with me so far? It's not good, right? Not a great time in Jeremiah's life at all. Now, do you remember what those first three things God said to Jeremiah from last week are? Can you remember? It'd be great if they were like up on the screen or something. What did they say? Well, need me, listen to me, and obey me, right? The need me part. Jeremiah had to rely and trust in God's resources, not his own. I can't imagine what it would be like to be held in prison where I couldn't go anywhere in a city that was being besieged, that was being attacked, that would eventually be overrun by the enemy. And outside of my cell windows, I heard everybody running and trying to find shelter and trying to make preparations to save their lives. And I couldn't do anything but sit there. I can't imagine that helpless kind of a feeling. And in that situation, God says to Jeremiah, "Need me." He also says, "Listen to me." God asked Jeremiah to do something that didn't make sense in his surroundings, buying land that would soon be overrun by the enemy. What is that? But he listened because he knew that God could see things he could not see. And then there's obey me. Why? Because, my friends, the evidence of loving God is obeying God. Remember this. There's some smart guy who said this. A victorious life happens when we pray and then do what God told us to do when we prayed. Wow, there's some Einstein intelligence for you, right? What does it say? A victorious life happens when we pray and then do what God told us to do when we prayed. So turn with me to Jeremiah 32. We're looking at verses 16 to 17. We'll then drop down to verse 21. And listen to the references about the awesome power of God as we look at these next three steps about hearing God in prayer. 32 and 16. After I had given the deed, right, he bought the land. After I had given the deed of purchase to Baruch, son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Skip down to 21. "You brought your people Israel out of Egypt with signs and wonders by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror you gave them this land you had sworn to give their ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. They came in and took possession of it, but they didn't obey you or follow your law. They did not do what you commanded them to do, so you brought all the disaster on them. See how the siege ramps are built up to take the city. Because of the sword and famine and plague, the city will be given into the hands of the Babylonians who are attacking us. What you said has happened, as you now see. And though the city will be given into the hands of the Babylonians, you, sovereign Lord, say to me, 'Buy that field with silver and have the transaction.'" What is the fourth step in answered prayer? God wants us to praise. Praise me is that fourth one. Why is calamity, ruin, and defeat coming to Judah? One of the reasons is because God's people forgot to praise God and acknowledge that all they had came from God. When you and I forget regularly to thank the one who provides all we have eventually disappears. And we get upset that it's all gone. Not why it's gone, just that it's gone. But to be mad at that reality is the same thing as damming up a river upstream and then complaining that there's no water for the mill downstream. You see, when we forget God in our lives, we cut off the supply. When the supply is cut off, our provision disappears. What else should we expect? Praise me. So God wants Jeremiah to praise him. Praising can be significant. In Fiji, singing hymns can actually get you in trouble. I don't know if you knew that or not. There are about 1 million Methodists who live in that South Pacific country. And each summer, 20 to 50,000 of them gather for a conference. And before the conference begins, they have a massive choral contest. About 10,000 people participate. They sing hymns. That's all they do. They just sing hymns. But in July 2009, the government shut them down. No choral concert this year, the government said. There was a lot of turmoil in Fiji at the time, and the government feared that that big crowd might get out of hand, because you know what Methodists are like when they get together, right? According to news reports, church officials said the government fears the conference and singing contest would lead to further political instability. Nothing like singing Methodists to make a government nervous. But they're onto something there, though. Christians praising the Lord really are dangerous, although perhaps not as the officials feared. Worshiping God in Christ upsets world systems. It is revolutionary. It depends on something other than ourselves. It brings another kingdom into view. God says, praise me. Let's look at another step as we see what God allows to happen here in Jeremiah 32, beginning in verse 36. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all humanity. Is anything too hard for me? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I'm about to give this city into the hands of the Babylonians and to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who will capture it. The Babylonians who are attacking this city will come in and set it on fire. They will burn it down along with the houses where the people aroused my anger by burning incense on the roof, on their roofs to Baal. Baal is just a catch-all phrase for foreign gods. There were lots of different Baals, but this is just the general one. And by pouring out drink offerings to other gods. The people of Israel and Judah have done nothing but evil in my sight from their youth. Indeed, the people of Israel have done nothing but arouse my anger with what their hands have made, declares the Lord. From the day it was built until now, this city has so aroused my anger and wrath that I must remove it from my sight. But skip down to verse 36. But this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I will surely gather them from all the lands where I banished them in my furious anger and wrath. I will bring them back to this place and let them live in safety. They will be my people and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear me and that all will then go well for them and for their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them and I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. When you read that, not one of the passages of Scripture that you would probably have cross-stitched and hanging on your wall, but it's almost as if God is allowing his people to be rebooted. Like you ever have to reboot your computer? You hit the key and nothing happens and you turn it off and you wait around and you go outside and you look at the trees and then you come back in and you turn it back on and you're thinking, oh, maybe this time, maybe this time, maybe this time. And no, so you turn it off again and you go outside and you come back. And eventually, if you reboot your computer, it'll come back on. It'll start working right again. We can thank Bill Gates for all of that, by the way. So what's next in this whole rebooting process of prayer? Well, God says, trust me. You know, a form of the phrase, I will, that is God doing something, I will, is used at least 10 times in this passage if you read the whole thing. Jeremiah is consciously deciding to trust God in the midst of some really crummy circumstances. He's able to see that God is light even though things are very dark. Now, the best person to trust in a situation like that is the person who has exactly the same stake in the situation that you do. And God's stake in any situation is you and me. And we can always trust God in that reality. God never leads us in the wrong direction. God always, everybody say always. God always wants the best for us, even when we don't know what the best for us is. Even though the nations actions have led to this tragedy, God says that after a time, God will gather his people back again, right in the same sacred land. And they will prosper in their relationship with God and in many other ways, more than they can even imagine. Even as the smoke makes their eyes tear and the fire makes them afraid right now in this moment. Are you ready to trust God, even though things look pretty bad right now? That's the question God has for you and me. God says, I will always keep my promises. Trust me to do it. Now, finally, I told you we had a destination to get to. That's Jeremiah 33. So we finally are going to arrive at our destination. And in Jeremiah 33, 1-3, we find the sixth thing of 4, 5, and 6 when it comes to answered prayer. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. You ready for it? Here it is. Call to me. Say, call to me. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. What's the next step? God says, call to me. When is God willing to answer prayer? When is God willing to answer prayer? When is God willing to answer prayer? When I need God. When I listen to God. When I obey God. When I praise God. When I trust God. And when I call to God. This keeps our prayers God-centered so they don't become a spiritual version of a kid's Christmas list. You know, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. I mean, why should God answer our prayers when we ask for the wrong thing? Seriously, parents, level with me. How many of you are parents or grandparents? Level with me here. How excited are you when your kids treat you like an ATM? Is that exciting for us? Do you feel that loving feeling when they do that? They smile. They say how handsome or pretty you look today. They smile some more. They might even clean their room. But you know what's coming. May I have some money for the movies? Can I have some money for a phone? Can I have some money so I can buy you a birthday gift? We need to relate to God better than that. God is more than a Coke machine ready to dispense every desire that you have just by tossing a few coins of devotion his way. He wants a relationship with you and me. He wants us to grow in the knowledge of him so he will become more to us than this celestial Santa Claus who stops by in his sleigh with your most recent desire. God is ready and available to draw close to you and provide you what you need as you serve God. But we have to take some time to know God because that's how we connect with the Almighty. So the question for today is, what is your struggle? Just think about your struggle for a minute. What is it that you're struggling with? What is it that you're having a hard time doing these six things about? Because whatever it is, God can handle it. Whatever it happens to be, God can handle it. In March of 2009, there was a Dutch artist. His name is Johan van der Zong. We'll just call him Johan from now on, if you don't mind. He decided that God needed a telephone number. So he got God a telephone number, a cell phone number to be exact, to show that God was available anywhere and anytime. In earlier times, you'd go to a church building to say a prayer, Johan said in an interview, and now this is an opportunity to just make a phone call and say your prayer in a modern way. It seems a lot of people appreciated the opportunity Johan provided them with in this divine hotline. Within 1 week, over 1,000 people left God a message. On one hand, it's pretty thrilling to know that over 1,000 people want to connect with God, right? On the other hand, you have to wonder how the people felt once the connection was made. You see, when you called the number Johan set up for God, this is what you hear on the other side of the line. This is the voice of God. I'm not able to speak to you at the moment, but please leave a message. That doesn't exactly convey the idea of a God who is available anywhere and any time, does it? To make matters worse, Johan kept the line open just for 6 months. When you think about it, this guy has really only managed to connect people to an altogether disconnected God who really didn't do them much good at all. Friends, God's not like that. God wants to answer you. Need me. Listen to me. Obey me. Praise me. Trust me. Call to me. Let your prayers to God reflect your relationship with God. And let that relationship be one of constant connectedness. God wants to answer you. But you see, the way we live our lives tells God if we really want an answer or not. I'll say that again. The way you and I live our lives before God tells God if we really want an answer from God or not. I want an answer. Do you? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for a chance to simply consider what it is that you call us to in prayer. Thank you very much for an opportunity to just consider some of the dynamics of prayer, and that, in essence, perhaps we're discovering that this struggle we're having with prayer, this lack of feeling of answers, is not necessarily on our side. On your side, but on our side. Too oftentimes, Lord, we treat you like a fire extinguisher, something that's always around just in case there's an emergency. Forgive us. Please help us to learn what it is to treat you as a best friend, as a confessor, someone to whom we go to first, someone who gets great joy when we tell him that we need him and want to listen, want to obey, want to praise and trust and call out to. Mighty God, thank you for the hope that we have. For we don't serve a God who is a statue, who is inanimate and has no capacity for love. We serve a God who loves us completely, even before we know who he is. And so in that love, Lord, we ask that you would change our perspective and that prayer would become the overflow of our overflowing relationship with you. Not something that we just go to because we have to, like tax time or the doctor or doing chores around the house. But let our life with you reflect a grand communication, because we let you do most of the talking as we do most of the listening. And we'll thank you forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship God.